mystical.
Look at the shoulders in here, man. I'm moving the shoulder, and Schaefer is just bopping right now. He's a guy I want to go to the bar with, okay? Just
no, he's not.
Any music.
He's even shaking his head.
We're in
no.
sequence right now, man.
Listen, what? 621. J Mart and Ramon. Name of the program. He's Ramon Foster. He played for the Vols. He played for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm Jason Martin. I played for nobody. He's on Twitter at Ramon Foster. I'm at J Mart Radio. Jonathan Schaefer is the one bopping his head. When trust matters, count on All Four Seasons Garage Doors in Nashville. Professional garage door installation and repair from a family-owned and operated business, which is super important right now as everybody's trying to get back to some degree of normalcy. Visit all four, the number four, allfourseasonsgarages.com/Nashville to learn more. Well, we bring in Rocky Boyman, who hosts radio in Ohio. So we got all sorts of stuff we can talk to him about this morning. Of course, does a lot of college football work for ESPN on television as well. On Twitter, at RockyBoyman50. Also an author and, again, a father. I remember the first time we had you on a few weeks ago, Rocky. You had another child on the way. Not on the way, but it had already been delivered. But this is a question that both my producer, Jonathan Schaefer, and me wanted to lead off with. Do you remember that you played football in the NFL with Ramon Foster? Because Ramon Foster does not remember that he played football with you.
That's all right, Ramon. It wasn't that memorable of a tenure for me in Pittsburgh there. But, yeah, that was my eighth and final year. And, in a regard, I consider it one of the prouder moments I've ever had in my career. I mean, I've had a lot of success, but in that regard, I came on, I think I played 7 games. I mean, yeah. It was November before I actually caught on with the Steelers there. And I write about this, actually, a chapter in my book under the title, Finish What You Start. You know, and I had the choice. I knew my tenure in the NFL was coming to a close, but I had a choice. I was like, do I just kind of let it go, or do I continue working out and just wait for that one last shot? And I made the determination that I was going to work out and train and do everything until December 31st. And after that, if it didn't happen, it wasn't going to happen. Lo and behold, it did. And, again, you find out how much you love football when it's late October and you're on a high school field somewhere training by yourself and hoping for a shot. And, I was able to do that. And again, was picked up by the Steelers. I couldn't imagine what would have happened had I showed up to that workout and I hadn't trained and I totally embarrassed myself. That would have been awful. So I was proud of the fact that even though it wasn't a great 6 or 7 games, that I played, I was able to catch on the team there and help out a little bit. And again, very proud moment.
Rocky, no, they're just trying to divide us right now. That's what's happening here, okay? I told them, I was like, I was a young guy at the time. I may have been going in a couple of like my first starts. And when you're a young guy in the league, your head is down and you're in survival mode. That's
correct.
All. They're just trying to create tension right now, okay? And I for one, will not allow this because we're part of the same organization, okay, whether they want to believe it or not.
Well, correct. He also played correct. Here.
Well, I do remember you that you were very young in your career, first or second year, if I'm not mistaken, and great player. And I think I remember hanging out with you at a bar after a game once or twice, maybe two. So it was good times. I enjoyed my time with Pittsburgh that one short season there.
Oh, man.
Rocky, we appreciate you coming on the show, man, and letting these guys, they're putting my face in mud right now, just so you know, but that's all right.
Don't let them do it. Don't let them hate, man.
All right, Rocky, the Big Ten is going to play football. When we talked weeks ago, we were both pretty much, I think, on the same page. August 11th didn't make any sense. The science didn't seem to back up anything that they were doing, and they weren't showing their work. When they were finally called on it and the pressure was put on them, yesterday they come out with the plan. October 24th, football is going to be back in the Big Ten. Looks like my prediction is the Pac-12 will play on October 24th as well. Right now, but your reaction to the Big Ten, at least in my estimation, getting it right after getting it very, very wrong and having a lot of egg on their face over the last month?
Yeah, I think when we talked a couple weeks ago, I voiced my opinion that, why make that determination when you had so much time to wait and see? There was plenty of time to kind of wait and maybe push things back a couple weeks. But you don't just cancel something. I think I may even give you an example. A couple years ago here in Cincinnati, Halloween was on a Friday. Okay, and then of course the forecast comes out on Monday, and oh my God, it's going to be snowing and raining, and all these poor trick-or-treaters, all these kids are going to be walking 10 feet in the snow, and it's going to be awful. Everyone was panicking. So there were some townships and jurisdictions and school districts that postponed Halloween to, oh, we're going to move it on Saturday, right? And of course, what happened? We get to Friday, and Friday was like a pretty normal, nice fall day. Saturday turned out to be very crummy, and that really was it really stuck in my head, just the example of, you don't try to forecast everything in life. You plan something, and then you trudge forward, you plow through it, until you get to a point where you absolutely can't. Then you divert, right? If it's raining and snowing, and your kids are all freezing cold, you put them in the car and you go home. But you don't try to forecast for the perfect situation. Same thing for the Big Ten. My opinion was always, how do we know things are going to be better in February or March? They could be worse. So, but nevertheless, I think a lot of people kind of felt that same way. But nevertheless, they under immense pressure, right?
Yeah,
pressure. I think a lot of these school presidents and chancellors, they're used to going to ribbon cutting ceremonies and everyone loving them. All of a sudden, now they're getting destroyed on social media and getting all these calls and emails and stuff. They're like, wait a minute here, we got to do something. So I think all that pressure forced the Big Ten to finally get back on. I think they made the right decision. Now, it's going to depend how it works out. Obviously, things could change, as I just said, but right now I'm very happy. The Big Ten is playing, looks like the Pac-12, and then I just saw this morning the Mountain West is talking about playing, which leaves just the MAC as potentially the only conference that won't play football here this fall.
Well, even though it's not nearly as big a story, just because you mentioned the MAC and you're up there in MAC territory as well as Big Ten territory, do you think they alter or they like? I mean, again, their revenue situation is different than a larger conference, and they might like the idea of having the floor all to themselves in the spring and just playing, because then they're basically the XFL. They're a secondary league as opposed to having to compete with the big boys.
Well, that's what they're betting on. I don't know if that's necessarily going to work out for them. And first of all, I'm already dreading. I have a vision of myself in DeKalb, Illinois in February, yeah, calling Akron the Northern Illinois with three people in the stands and 8 feet of snow on the ground. I can already see that's going to happen. So football in February in the Midwest, we'll see how that works. The other thing too is, from a revenue standpoint, the biggest kind of determining factor was for the MAC making the decision to cancel the fall was, okay, teams aren't going to play out of conference games, and the MAC, of course, needs those money revenue generating games. Bowling Green needed to play Ohio State because that meant $1.2 million, yeah, toward their athletic department. Well, that's not happening in the fall, but that's also not going to happen next year in February and March. So I know one of the concerns, I talked to a bunch of MAC coaches, I think a lot of the concerns was they didn't know there was no universal protocol on testing, right? And at the time, a test was between 75 and 100 bucks per test. So, the coaches would say, look, if Ohio State can test their 100 athletes three times a week to the tune of $100 a test, we can't. If you're Miami of Ohio, you don't have the revenue to do that. But now, again, as we sit here now, I'm hearing those rapid tests that you get the results back in like 15 minutes. They're as low as like 30 bucks. So things have changed. I think that'll help them. Will it work out? Will people be rushing to the TV to enjoy MAC football in February, March? I hope they will, but we shall see.
Yeah. With the agreement of these conferences saying they're going to play, a lot of stuff goes into it where it's like, okay, well, what's important? And the most important factor in this to me is the kids. How important is it for these athletes being able to get film? I mean, a lot of us have aspirations to go to the next level. How important is it for them to be able to have their own film resume?
I mean, it's huge. I couldn't imagine. I have friends that have kids that play college football and are seniors, and they're and maybe they're not going to make the NFL or not, but even just the fact to have your senior year, Ramon, how special that is. Whether it's high school, college, you remember things that happened your senior year. That's kind of the tip of everything happening there. But yeah, for the athletes that do think they may have a shot at the next level, that throws a wrench into the whole situation. So, it'll be interesting to see how many players, if for instance, say the MAC does go for in the spring, how many players decide to sit out? I mean, you know, there's more kids every year that goes by. There's more and more kids that think they're going to play in the NFL when probably they don't have a shot to do it, but they think they're going that way. So are we going to see, 10 kids per roster, per team in the mat? Are they going to sit out? I don't know, but I think it definitely helps, certainly the Big Ten players. And I'm happy for them that those players will get a senior year, not only just to complete that senior year and their college journey, but also then to the ones that are going to have a shot to play in the NFL, they'll be able to get 8 games of resume tape out there, and I think that should be enough.
Rocky Boyman, our guest here on J. Mart and Ramon. We'll talk about his book here in a little bit as well. You'll catch him on ESPN and certainly on the radio if you're in the Ohio area. So it's a battle of Ohio tonight, Rocky. We didn't even think about this. We were bringing you on to talk college football, and then all of a sudden it hit us. Oh, it's Baker versus Joe Burrow tonight on Thursday Night Football. I'm sure you've been talking a lot about that in Cincinnati. Well, first off, Joe Burrow had that look on his face on the sidelines on Sunday like, oh, man, I play for the Cincinnati Bengals now, don't I? This kind of thing didn't happen at LSU. But what was your assessment of the rookie, and what has maybe your audience's assessment been this week when you guys have taken calls?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, even given the result, Cincinnati fans were very happy and are still very, very excited about Joe Burrow. To me, nothing matters in this season. Wins and losses, really nothing else matters other than knowing at the end of this year, do the Cincinnati Bengals and does the fan base, can they honestly look at themselves and say, you know what, Joe Burrow is the guy. We got it right, right? I mean, that's what it comes to. The worst thing that happened to a Cincinnati Bengals coach or even the fan base is to be sitting here on January 1st going, God, man, I don't know if Joe's the guy or not. And, you know, I mean, look, in Cleveland, they're doing that 4 years later with Baker Mayfield. They don't know if he's the franchise quarterback. They don't know if he's the guy that's going to finish out the season. So that's what it's all about. And in week one, Joe Burrow, he made some mistakes. He threw a bad interception. There were 3 deep balls, one of which he certainly could have connected with A.J. Green on. He missed on that one. But he made it. He did what he did was late in the game. And Ramon, you know that the quarterback is judged by how he competes, how he performs in those big moments. And it was, about 3 minutes left to go in the game. 2 minutes left to go in the game. Driving the ball down the field, he hit, I believe, 7 different wide receivers, 10 different passes, converted 2 third downs, got them to the 4-yard line there. Threw the touchdown pass to A.J. Green, but it was called OPI. They moved it back. They kicked the field goal. The field goal was missed, and we know what happened after that. But everyone looked at that moment and said, wow, it didn't look too big for Joe Burrow. He looked calm, cool, collected, and he performed well. There was no panicking in that big moment in the game, and that is something that has a lot of Cincinnati fans excited.
Speaking of kickers and special teams, you and I both have played special teams. You play on more than I did and have a great idea of what it takes to get those teams together. You know, nobody really mentions it until there's an issue. It's the same thing as O-line play. Nobody notices you until you mess up. Over the league this past weekend, we noticed a bunch of special team issues that was going on. How important was it or is it for them to be able to have a regular season to work through that, and the difference between, kicking in practice and kicking in a game?
It was weird. I think I saw the stats. 70% of kicks were missed in the NFL in week one, which is that's crazy, especially considering it's hard to blame COVID because, COVID stopped meetings from happening and players, offenses couldn't get together and all that. But if you're a kicker, hell, you can go to the park by your damn self and kick field goals, right? Like,
that's the attitude we have.
Yeah, I don't understand how exactly that happens. And in Cincinnati's case, their kicker Randy Bullock, both his calves cramped during the kick, which means he wasn't hydrated. Now I don't know if you ever know, I've never seen a kicker dehydrated in all my 8 years in the NFL. But
never.
It happened because, well, it's Cincinnati and it's 2020.
That's what I was going to say, Rocky. Isn't that the most Bengals thing that possibly could have happened?
It is absolutely. Rocky, that was all of our reaction right after that. I was like, of course that would happen up
the
here.
The first thing I thought was
the quarterback leading a drive down the field, and here we go. But,
no, and we were in here talking. I was like, don't grab your calf. No, don't do that move.
I know, and you know, people are debating whether he grabbed the wrong calf or not. So I think that's why now the narrative is both calves cramped. So I don't know, man. I have no. I'm done commenting on. That's all I'm going to say.
Why is Baker Mayfield running so much, Rocky? Why is he running like he's, I don't know, Deshaun Watson or Randall Cunningham or somebody that really was known to run the ball instead of I mean, we know he's accurate. We know he can throw. He seems to be running before he has to, as opposed to doing it when he does have to.
Yeah, I don't know. There's so many things potentially going on. Here's also a player that's had, what, three different head coaches, three different coordinators in his 10 years. So maybe there's no continuity there. And I think you're also seeing a guy who's under immense pressure, right? Everybody's saying, oh, my God, is Baker Mayfield going to make it? Is he a first pick overall bust? So you often see that when that happens, players and especially quarterbacks try to do too much. You know, they try to just make a play out of every single play when it's not there. And Ramon, you know, Ben Roethlisberger, yeah. play wasn't there. He threw the ball out of bounds and, okay, we'll live to fight another day. And I just wonder if it's an instance where he's just trying too hard. He wants to make every play, and God love him. He's wants you know, everyone to, you know, to see, hey, he's the guy, and he's a great quarterback in the league. I just think that's, you know, trying too hard is a part of it.
Yeah, being able to create is something that's a skill, and not everybody can do it. You can move around as much as you want to, but if you're not productive, you're going to get yourself hurt and put your team in a bad down and distance. But speaking of those two conferences, and you know, the Titans being the AFC South, this year is the AFC North versus the South. Looking at the teams in these divisions, it could possibly be four teams depending on seeding come from. And I'm looking at Titans, Houston can do it, maybe Indy, of course the Ravens and Pittsburgh. How do you see these matchups between these two divisions?
It really is. I mean, you love watching the AFC South right now as well, to your point. You know, Colts fans, and I played a couple years with the Colts, probably aren't happy right now. Everyone's hoping they'd see a different Phillip Rivers. They hope they'd see the guy, not last year, but the one who, you know, for in years past was always, you know, just, a great quarterback. And again, in those big moments, they didn't see that. So that was a little bit disappointing. But, for the Titans, I think they got all the pieces. They made a great run last year here and then decided to go with Tannehill, and you got Derrick Henry, and hopefully he stays healthy back there. But, yeah, I don't necessarily know how much I believe in the Texans because, what they did offseason-wise in terms of the weapons that Deshaun Watson has at his disposal. But a very, very competitive division and one that will be really, really fun to watch.
Rocky's Rules, a playbook for becoming your best in challenging times. Rocky, I asked you for one of Rocky's Rules the last time I had you on. I, like I said, I want you to not give up things that people should go read your book to get, but give us a quick rule here in this last, 45 seconds or so.
Yeah, I mean, and I'll tell you that this one happened. This was actually when I was with the Titans playing against the Steelers. This is my second year. And the lesson is that prepare and one day your chance will come, right? I think there's a lot of people out there that are frustrated in their job and there's somebody ahead of them, and they don't feel like they can ever, get past them, so why even try? I mean, this is kind of happening my second year. I was always prepared well and been a player that worked extremely hard and very, very dedicated. And I had a great first season. I set the Oilers-Titans franchise record for special teams tackles in the season, played some situationally defensively. But in the second year, I wanted more. I had a great preseason. But no matter what I did, I was still going to be the backup. So I started to get frustrated. And Gunther Cunningham, the linebacker coach at the time, kept me after a meeting and basically kind of got my head right and said, look, if I were you, I'd prepare as if I was the starter because you never know what may happen. Well, fast forward in the season, week four, we go up to Pittsburgh to play. The starter in front of me goes down. Boom, all of a sudden I'm in there. And, long story short, by the end of the game, I had an interception return for a touchdown, 10 tackles, the whole deal. But after the game, I just remember being so thankful that I had prepared because had I got my chance, right, had I got my opportunity and gone in that game and I didn't study the playbook, I didn't know my opponent, and I played horribly, I never would have got that chance again. So the lesson there for all of us is no matter how bleak things look, keep preparing, keep grinding, man, keep every day getting great at your craft because your chance will come. I believe it will come. The salesperson in front of you will be off sick one day or he'll start to lax a little bit. and all of a sudden you're going to be called on. And you ask the, and the only question is, what are you going to do with your opportunity when you get it? So again, the lesson is prepare, and one day your chance will come. So the book is full of things like that. It's my 11 rules for life, mindsets that I think are very, very important. Again, that I learned mostly the hard way in the NFL through a failure or some sort of hard situation. But I think it's good for everybody to hear, because we're all going through challenging times right now, right, with COVID and the economy, and everything's just kind of crazy. I just think it's kind of good core mindset to have. It's called Rocky's Rules, and it's on Amazon right now.
Yep, and you can look at therockyboyman.com and check it out as well. I think I've heard it said, or at least I heard years ago, Rocky, prepare for the job you want, not necessarily the job you have. You obviously already have to be prepared there, but if you want to be the starter, make sure you're ready to be the starter so that when your number is called, you can succeed the way you just did. And in that story, certainly. We appreciate it. We are always happy to catch up with you. We hope to do it again soon.
Guys, anytime. Love being with you. Thanks so much. Have a great day.
Appreciate it. That is Ramon Foster's teammate.
Yeah.
From Pittsburgh. Rocky Boyman, also former Tennessee Titan. It is 641 on 104.5 The Zone.